You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, in moments where we face deadlines and pressure, we often buckle down to get the job done. But a new exhibit of mid-century designers at the Milwaukee Art Museum suggests the best ideas are often found by making time for play. The curator of the new exhibit joins the show coming up. First, U.S. representatives from both parties voted last week to pass a reauthorization bill for the Federal Aviation Administration. The bill would continue funding for the FAA, but this year's version contains some new protections for airline passengers. If the bill becomes law, the FAA would be able to set a minimum standard for seat size and legroom on planes, and it would also prevent airlines, apparently, from forcibly removing passengers after they've cleared the boarding gate, something that got national attention last year after a man was dragged off a United Airlines flight to make room for crew members. Douglas Kidd is the executive director of the National Association of Airline Passengers. Douglas, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this FAA reauthorization bill, it's huge. I understand 2,000 or so pages. There's a lot in there. But let's key in on this legroom thing, because this is a common problem faced by air travelers. Are things really getting more cramped over the years on the planes we fly on?
Yes, they are, and it's not an accident. The airlines have figured out that if, for example, they go from, say, 34 inches of legroom or seat pitch to 31 inches of seat pitch, they can put an extra row in the airplane for each 10 rows that they do that to. So they say, okay, this is basically free money. Let's put it in there. And, you know, people will, in most of the time, just simply accept it as it is. But, again, it's not really a good thing for passengers, because if you're on a short flight, okay, you can endure it. But the longer the flight is, the worse it gets. And, you know, there's potential for harm to people from blood clots and so forth.
So in this bill passed by the House, I think the Senate still has to weigh in on this. How would they regulate this issue of legroom and pitch?
Right. The Congress passes the law, but then it's up to the FAA or DOT in this case to create the regulation that enforces that particular part of the law. And before they do that, they've got to go through their own set of hearings and studies and so forth. So while we are glad that they're moving in this direction, this is something we asked the FAA and the to look into back in 2014, we're not going to hold our breath on this, because they're going to take their time, they're going to study it. They may come out with something that says to the effect that we don't see a problem with the existing standards. And what our main concern would be they would say, whatever it is right now is fine with us, rather than taking the passenger's point of view and saying 30 inches or less is unacceptable. We really need to go back to that 34-inch standard. And I'd say for some people, especially the people who are tall, they need even more than that.
One concern I've seen raised is that this might not just be a comfort issue if the legroom gets smaller and smaller. It could interfere with the ability to evacuate a plane quickly. Do you see that as a concern?
Well, I think so, because there's just no way that you can easily get out of a seat when you're packed in that tightly. The person on the aisle may be able to get out, but the person next to the window, he's got to wait for everybody else. Now, the FAA will tell you, okay, it can be done, but they do that a lot of times with computer simulations. They've stopped doing the live tests, and live tests don't always take into account that you've got people of all ages. You have men and women, you have children, you have the elderly, and in some cases you've got service animals in there as well. And so we think that this is something that they need to take a look at and say, okay, we don't want to overload the plane. We need to have enough room for everybody to move around freely and to be able to exit the plane expeditiously in case there is an emergency.
Talking to Douglas Kidd from the National Association of Airline Passengers, looking at the new FAA funding reauthorization bill and particular parts of it, especially as it relates to airline passengers. This other thing I mentioned in the setup there, it has to do with airlines forcibly removing passengers after they've boarded their plane. We mentioned that video last year, a man being dragged off a United flight. Why is this something that needs to be prohibited by law? How did we get here?
Well, actually, taking and dragging somebody off the plane for business purposes, in this case to make room for a some employees so they could fly, that was already illegal.
Oh, really?
That's why the airline settled it so quickly. The airlines do have the right to remove you if it is a safety issue. Okay? But in the case of Dr. David Dow, there was no safety issue involved. It was just, it was either give up your seat or else, and he said no, so he got the or else. And so when somebody took a look at this, they said, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. They actually engaged in a criminal act to remove him. So I'm glad that the FAA reauthorization bill just comes out and says, okay, you can't do this. You've already put the people on board the plane. This is no way to run a business. If there was a true emergency on board the plane, you can always empty the plane and then you can deal with it. Because when you put policemen or security people in there and they're going to forcibly remove somebody else in a different seat who had done nothing wrong could have also gotten hurt. And so this was really not good thinking on the part of the airline employees.
Is there anything else in this FAA bill that jumps out at you as something that could help passengers?
Well, one of the most important things that they've done in the bill is to give the flight attendants more rest. They're probably not getting enough rest as it is, but the improvement from 8 hours to 10 hours can really make a difference to the flight attendants who have to be at the flight early. They don't leave until everybody else is off the plane. Then they've got to get rest, and then they're going to do it all over again. Now, anybody else, when we leave work, we leave, at 6 o'clock, and we have to be back at work at, say, 9, we're going to get 12 hours of rest. But that flight attendant is not going to get that much. They'll get maybe 10, and probably less than that, because they've got to get to the hotel and everything else that's involved. So we want to see the flight attendants get as much rest as is necessary so they can do their job properly, because a tired flight attendant is, like anyone else, can make mistakes. She won't have the patience to deal with some of the passengers who have problems, who are not really a problem themselves, but they need her help or his help. So we want that flight attendant to be as well rested as possible. And so we're glad that they've taken a step in the right direction. They really need to get probably more than 10 hours. They probably need more than like 12, just like anyone else.
I could see the airline industry saying, okay, you can have these regulations. You can make it harder for us to fit more seats on a plane, maybe make us hire more flight attendants. That's going to show up in your airfare prices. This could raise costs. Is that a valid concern?
It is a valid concern, but only partially, because the passenger is going to pay for the conditions on the plane in one way or another. If you cramp the people into seats that are really too small, you could wind up paying for that with a blood clot that could kill you. If you have tired flight attendants, it could lead to confrontations on the plane that are completely unnecessary. If you have, other things happening on board the plane that says, okay, we just want to regard people as self-loading freight and pack as many of them in there as possible, that leads to other problems on the flight and becomes something to be endured rather than enjoyed. So you pay for it one way or the other. Our point of view is we would rather pay a little bit more and have a flight that where we're not cheek to jowl with our fellow passengers, where our knees are not in the other passenger's seat back, and where the flight attendants are not so tired that that they can't listen to our concerns or take care of us properly. We want the airlines, in other words, to serve us the way any other business would serve us. And if you think about it, would you ask a restaurant to say, oh, you only can give your employees 8 hours of rest between shifts? Nobody would think that would make any sense. Nobody would think that packing people into a place where they're uncomfortable would be good business. You want to make the passengers comfortable. You want to serve them properly with well-rested and people who are fresh and are capable of having and displaying a little bit of patience as they do their job. This is just common sense and something the airlines, have forgotten in their rush to make money. They've forgotten that there is a customer out there. It is a human being. And they need to be taken care of as human beings, and they're not just packages that to be thrown on board the plane and packed as tightly as possible.
We'll leave it there for now. Douglas, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Douglas Kidd is Executive Director of the National Association of Airline Passengers. He joined us to talk about a bill passed by the U.S. House that, among other things, many other things, regulates legroom on planes and prohibits airlines from forcibly removing passengers once they've boarded for non-safety reasons. The FAA reauthorization bill is now headed to a vote in the U.S. Senate.